Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Five Red Lights Formula One podcast, a podcast focusing on all things Formula One and pretty much whatever annoyed me that day. Please don't forget to rate these podcasts where available and be sure to follow our social media at Five Red Lights Podcast on Instagram and at Five Red Lights F1 on Twitter. In this episode, I'm going to be reviewing this weekend's Azerbaijan Grand Prix, which was in Baku, obviously. However, before that, I think I better go over the predictions I made at the end of last episode, which have not aged well. Basically, I predicted Verstappen would win, and maybe I jinxed it, maybe I didn't. I also predicted that one of the Mercedes wouldn't get into Q3, and while I was wrong, they didn't score any points, which is, in my opinion, my not so humble opinion, just as embarrassing. Anyway, I've coerced my friend Luke to join me for this podcast, and he had just woken up, so if he sounds a bit sleepy, let him off. He's had a hard few days. Right, qualifying. Initial opinions on qualifying.
Someone needs to tell Bottas that walking the track is usually done before the race.
I can't believe he qualified 10th.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Alonso was faster than him.
I don't know what's happened to him.
Surely he's going to get replaced by Russell. Yeah. I mean, like, there's no way he keeps his job.
So that's like the past two races that he's been, like, in double digits. It ain't looking too great.
I mean, oh, he's just terrible. If you look at the people who started ahead of him as well, you've got Alonso, Tsunoda. Yeah. Tsunoda's first Q3 ever, and he drove 0.4 faster than a Mercedes. Fair enough.
In his first F1 season, he outpaced him. Mercedes
for 0.4. Is Tsunoda the greatest driver on the grid? Maybe. I'm not entirely sure how Leclerc managed to fluke it onto pole.
It's because Carlos Sainz. It's just the strategy, isn't it? They give Leclerc a toe.
A pole and crash.
Yeah, on the last minute, they give Leclerc a toe until there's only time for one lap left.
I'm not sure.
And then they both go out.
And they both just fuck it.
And then Sainz just pelts it into the wall. And that's how it works.
I'm not sure Leclerc's ever got a pole under normal conditions.
He is the unluckiest person, though.
Well,
every single.
Oh yeah.
he's qualified pole for the past two races.
Didn't start one and came fourth in the other.
Yeah, that's not great.
I was so depressed when Hamilton went quicker than Verstappen. I was like, it's over. That's it, he's won.
I reckon, now that Perez has sort of got his act together, Red Bull are probably going to win. The constructors, at least.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if Bottas driving like he's had brain cells removed. Yeah. Just need Perez to keep it up.
It's like he's been struck by lightning and he just completely forgot who he is, and he doesn't want to tell anyone.
What, Bottas?
Yeah.
He's like, why am I here?
He has no idea what's going on, he just pretends to drive. And he's just
been herded into the car.
come on, Valtteri, get in. He's like, where am I?
That explains why he was late getting out of Finland.
He has a catheter strapped to him.
Extra weight. The weirder thing was, Mazepin qualified 18th, which, to be fair to him, which is his best qualifying ever, I think. And all it took was two people to crash before setting laps. So well done, Mazepin, for an amazing weekend.
It's the Haas way. You either cause the disturbance on the track, or you exploit it. That's a Haas do well.
You know, Haas are ahead of Williams in the World Championship now. Based on results, because they finished like 13th. Because Williams just decided to stop doing the race. Like, at the red flag. They just were like, oh, fuck it, never mind. Like, where did Williams is finished? Yeah, 16th,
17th. It's so funny watching the, because of next year, bottom teams just don't really care this year.
Well, I think it's just Haas who are like, no upgrades after Bahrain. It's like, you know, Bahrain's the first race of the season, right? They're like, yeah. And? It's ridiculous. I bet one of the Haases flukes into points before the Williams do.
Yeah, like, I can just see
Mazepin will get like a random 7th place.
Yeah.
Everyone's cars blow up. Danny Rick needs to get his finger out qualifying 13.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Dan Ricciardo. He's not really...
Can't drive the car. If someone's forgotten who they are, it's him. Because, I mean, Bottas has always been pretty wet.
Yeah, Bottas has always had that kind of, like... The atmosphere of shitness around him. Even though he's just in a Mercedes, it doesn't matter.
An atmosphere of shitness. It's Ricciardo deciding he's like, I don't want to drive anymore, I'm going to crash. Sucks to be him. And he got outqualified by Ocon and Vettel. Well, to be fair, Vettel, but Ocon.
Listen.
Like, even if the McLaren wasn't as fast as the Alpine, like, Ricciardo's better than Ocon, he should be.
Talk for Aston Martin a bit.
Are we going to bring up Aston Martin? Okay, well, Aston Martin qualified. Lance Stroll crashed and Vettel qualified 11th. What's your opinion, and did it make buying the polo shirt worth it?
Qualifying didn't. Because hearing Vettel's reaction to not getting into Q3 was heartbreaking.
Yeah, but 11th is like a better place to start than 10th, because you get to choose your tyres. Like, if he'd started 10th, he probably wouldn't have got a podium.
Aston Martin works in mysterious ways.
Stroll does what he wants.
Actually, I tied the polo shirt to a pillow and just hugged it.
Oh, it worked?
Just closed my eyes, yeah.
What, during the race?
I just...
What?
I sold my soul so that Sebastian Vettel would get a podium.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
That one podium?
It's absolutely
It's going to be followed by a string of 13th place finishes.
Yeah, it's going to be followed by Pirelli just absolutely sodomizing Aston Martin.
What have Pirelli got to do with it?
If you ever look at Lance Stroll's left rear, then...
Oh, yeah, that was a bit of a sticky situation.
It's Hulkenberg in the pits. He's trying to get Lance
He's there Stroll. Just like, go on, have a serious incident.
You gaze in the pit and he's... Yeah, your eyes in the pit and you're just there with a needle.
Nico Hulkenberg bought a sniper rifle 3 days ago. You know those like massive buildings in Azerbaijan, in Baku, like the three towers? Just a little glint coming off the top. Where's Hulk?
The grassy knoll.
Gasly qualified 4th.
Yeah, Gasly, I'm glad that Gasly's not in a Red Bull.
Gasly's a superhero in an AlphaTauri. You put him in a Red Bull and he's like, what do I do?
He just stops working.
It's because the Red Bull is a bit of a bastard.
Yeah, it's because that Red Bull is just stupid. If Max Verstappen was just a normal driver, then he'd have a good teammate. I mean, Perez is pretty good now.
Oh, I mean, true. Perez is actually doing what they need the second driver to do. Like, Mercedes needed, when Hamilton just decided to turn his brakes off. and carry on going in a straight line. Like, if Bottas was actually decent, he'd have been right behind him to take that position. However, it's Bottas and he's useless. It's like, have you seen have you watched Drive to Survive season 3?
Mm-hmm.
When he's like talking about how like he doesn't let, he's like, oh yeah, I'm just working on not letting haters bother me. He's like, well, you better not check social media for the next 2 weeks. Because everyone's just like, Russell's a Mercedes. Confirmed.
It must be really nice ignoring the haters from outside of the points.
Isn't it? That's so bad. I can't believe, like, arguably Bottas is in the second fastest car, and the only drivers who finished behind him were Mick Schumacher, Nikita Mazepin, Hamilton, who just like cracked, went off the track, and Latifi, who got a time penalty. That's dire. Like, he surely has to get fired. Like, if they've not already made the decision to fire him, like, surely that's like the final nail in the coffin. Get rid of him.
If he's already doing performing like this in a Mercedes where they have the financial backing to basically just make the car just better than everyone else. Mm. Next year he's absolutely gonna get kicked out.
He's not gonna be here.
Because he isn't gonna have that crutch.
They're not. It's not. Can you imagine they demoting back down to Williams after 4 years? That'd be embarrassment.
Imagine.
5 years. What?
Bottas and Williams again.
Bottas and Latifi.
Yeah. No.
The two least threatening people you could ever have in a car. Like when you see Verstappen driving, he's like, oh my god, he might kill someone. Like, he's just violent with it and he gets the overtake done. Like, I don't know if Latifi has ever been angry. Like, can you imagine Latifi pulling off like a brutal overtake? Like, he just doesn't know.
The one time I heard Latifi raise his voice was it last year when everyone crashed it? Was it Imola? No, it wasn't. Where everyone crashed, like, on the starting line.
Yeah. What's it? Mugello.
Mugello. Yeah.
Wow! Did he shout that?
No, that's the only time I heard him raise his voice. I think he said sorry because he got rammed. he got rammed in the back. There was something punctured his engine and he went flying into the wall and he was like, sorry guys.
Sorry guys, don't sweat it. It's just, I don't know. I mean, Latifi's never going to go anywhere but Williams. He's only there because his dad invests loads of money into the team. Russell's going Mercedes. You know, Mazepin is like, he's done like loads of testing with Mercedes in the past. Like, Toto Wolff like always goes and talks to him. Like, realistically, Mazepin's never driving for anyone but Haas.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's worrying there because Mazepin's one of those, like, one of those people that's just sticky.
But the thing is, right, he's in like F2 and stuff, he's not terrible. Like, when he's in F2, he won the odd race, got podiums. Obviously got enough like super license points to make it into F1. He's not a terrible driver, he's a terrible person, but he's just been crap since he got brought up.
It's because that Haas is just a terrible car.
True. I wish Mick Schumacher had got to have like Magnussen as a teammate instead.
It really shows how good Magnussen and Grosjean were because they could actually control that car.
I don't know if even Magnussen or Grosjean would have done any different in this car. It's fucking dire. Like, Grosjean steps out of his house and then goes and gets a pole position in like his third IndyCar race, and everyone spent the last 5 years like, oh, Grosjean's dusted. So either IndyCar drivers are actually dreadful,
yeah.
Which, to be fair, some of them are.
They're all mouth breathers.
Yeah, they're actually, like, some of them, oh my god, if there's any Americans listening, please be offended. Some of them are just a bit like, You watch I watched the Indy 500 and you watched the interviews and you just sat there like, oh my god.
Like, I can imagine Grosjean, he's getting that right. He's like, right, my F1 career is over. Time to get into IndyCar.
Time to go win Indy.
And another stage in my life. He opens the door and sees all the drivers are all drooling and playing with Legos.
Just being herded around.
They're all in a little playpen. With hard hats on.
They have the aero screen in Indy. They say it's to keep the drivers safe. It's actually to keep the drool contained. Can't be spattered on people. Yeah, anyway, I mean, less IndyCar slagging off, even though it is crap. Every time Hamilton balls it up, Gasly gets a podium.
Yeah, I think it's just the...
It just happens.
It's great. We need more of that. We need more of Hamilton's brakes deciding to go nuclear.
They didn't decide to do that. He pressed the button. And then Toto Wolff was like, no, I can't call it a mistake. And it's like, well, what else do you call turning your brakes off if not a mistake? Like, it's very clearly a mistake. And he's like, no, it's an issue. Not an issue. It's Hamilton.
Yeah, it was the issue that he turned his brakes off.
Yeah, it's like Hamilton turns his brakes off and Toto Wolff's like, oh, poor baby, don't worry. But then at Monaco, Bottas's pit stop gets messed up, and even though there's footage of him doing it perfectly, Toto's like, oh yeah, he didn't park in the right place. And there's literally footage of him pulling into his pit box and he's lined up with his marks.
This Drive to Survive is going to be insane this year.
Bottas is just a sacrificial lamb whenever Hamilton does.
Because they're going to do what they did with Hülkenberg in season one, where it basically looks like Bottas has nothing left, and he's just going to become like he's just going to be ostracized from society if he doesn't carry on.
Have you seen that episode in Drive to Survive where Hülkenberg goes to that shop full of children? And they're like, so how many races have you won? Yeah, and he's like, none. And they're like, oh. And then they just stop listening. It's like, ooh, sticky one.
There's so mean for putting that in. There's no need to put that in.
It was absolutely brutal. They just absolutely ruined his career. How many races have you won? None. Oh. And all the kids are just like, well, fuck this. Nice. Did you see Alonso after the restart?
Yeah, he absolutely blitzed.
He made up four positions. He just decided to remember how to drive again. But then, I don't know, Ocon. Where did Ocon? Ocon didn't finish, did he? He retired. That's poor. Oh, Verstappen was actually classified. Because he completed like more than like 95% of the race different distance, so technically he came last. But he got classified 18th, but it was a DNF. Like, if you think about it, Verstappen finished the race two laps down ish. That's just like a normal Sunday for the Hasses. And he was getting changed. He was having a shower. He still did, on average, better than Mazepin does. But we're not allowed to. That's a controversial opinion. Raikkonen came 10th. Giovinazzi came 11th. Well, I swear Alpha come there every race. We're either 10th and 11th or like 12th and 13th.
Alpha Romeo were really good.
Were they? Well,
they're just so consistent with like 10th and 11th.
They're consistent in either being just outside of the points or getting 1 point. Yeah. And I swear, every single time they get a point, it gets taken off them. Like, Raikkonen gets a point, and then the FIA are like, ah, you thought. You're getting... Yeah, you did one little infringement, so you're getting a 10-second penalty. Who came? Tsunoda, 7th. It's like, that's his best finish ever. Fair play. Good on him. He's still definitely not ready for F1. Have you heard his You
are. It's his rookie year, and he's got. It's his rookie year, and he's got seventh. I think that's pretty good.
Lewis Hamilton lost the title by 1 point in his rookie year.
Yeah. But...
Kevin Magnussen got a podium on his first race ever.
Yeah, but Yuki Tsunoda's
in a McLaren.
Yuki Tsunoda's in an AlphaTauri.
The AlphaTauri's won races and got a podium.
It's won one race because of the pit stop.
I mean, that team have won two races. Both at Monza, actually.
Well, just wait till Monza this year.
Tsunoda's gonna win. Hamilton's gonna ignore a red flag. Yellow flag, whatever the fuck he was.
It's gonna be a Tsunoda, a Vettel, Stroll, and then everybody else is gonna crash.
The only more iconic pairing besides Charles Leclerc and getting a pole under weird circumstances is Charles getting a pole and not winning the race. Did you see he went from first to like fourth in a lap and a half?
It's just interesting watching Charles Leclerc because it's just you know something bad's going to happen.
But you don't know when it's going to happen. His whole life has just been a string of terrible things happening to him. Like, if you think of, like, Nikita Mazepin is a crap driver. He gets to, like, go home, sexually assault people on Twitter and nothing happens. You know, living his dad's live his billionaire lifestyle. Then you've got Leclerc, who's actually a quality driver. His godfather and childhood friend died. His dad died. One of his childhood best friends in Hubert died. And he's just like just a bit of good luck, please.
Please, God, just let me.
He's like, just
let me stay first for more than a lap. Please.
I want to know what he did in his past life to deserve this.
He must have been a proper prick.
Must have been a right arsehole in his previous life to deserve all this luck, because Jesus Christ, it stinks. Maybe his mum gave him... Have you seen his mum was David Coulthard's hairdresser?
Ha.
Yeah. Oh, he said that in an interview. He might have been lying, but I don't really know why he'd lie. You know, Perez.
His past life is a Joseph Mengele coming through.
That's a bad look. Don't tell anyone. You know, Perez is the only person to win with two constructors since 2014. Does that mean he's the best in the world? Yes. Perez is the GOAT.
He's going to get. I reckon next season, him and Max are going to be on top again. So not again, but Red Bull's going to be on top again.
Mercedes have been developing the 2022 car for the longest, though.
You could give Bottas a rocket on his car, and he'd still, and it could just be a drag race, and he'd still find a way to mess it up.
Well, yeah, because Bottas is fucking wank.
And even if Lewis gets first, and Max and Perez get second or third every race,
I'm not convinced Bottas has like an actual competitive bone in his body. Like he does, they slip something into his pre-race espresso three races a year, and he like wins. But then in every other race, it's just like, you know, if Hamilton was in 12th, he'd be sixth within like three laps. And then Bottas is like, oh boy, I'm 12. He's got the same, if he had to compare, he's got the same personality as Morty from Rick and Morty. Just a bit wet.
You know, he's a Jerry. He's just...
He's a Jerry.
He lives off people feeling sorry for him. The only time he drives well is out of spite.
Yeah, he never just does it because he wants to win and wants to be respected. Like, people chat shit about him constantly, and then it gets to a point where he's like, right, screw this, I'm going to drive well. Then he wins one race and he comes sixth the week after.
Yeah, and he's like, right.
He's like, job done.
That's the hate of science for another year. I'm just going
to... That's the hater's silence. He's like, never mind. I think that moving on from Bottas, because sorry Bottas, if you're listening to this, but don't cry too hard. I think that if Norris hadn't got that stupid penalty, meaning he started ninth, I think he would have been on the podium instead of Vettel or Gasly.
No, Vettel was just a stellar drive. No one could top that.
One could top that besides the two people who were ahead of him, and then one's tyre blew up. See, that was a Vettel masterclass, and not blowing his tyres up.
That was his strategy all along.
He's like, I know this is going to happen. I've just got to sit and wait. Did you see, I on the restart, I was like, half of me was like, come on, Vettel's going to jump Perez into turn one. Could you imagine if Vettel had won that race?
Listen, I would have super glued the shit that Paulo team to myself.
It would have been a bit unbelievable.
You see now, because that's the Aston Martin have done, that the best they're going to do until next year.
Yeah.
But because they've had some success, and the value of the shirt goes up.
Are you just working on a resale?
Listen, it's my pension plan.
Your pension plan? You're going to flog the Aston Martin shirt when they win the first world championship?
No, they're going to win the first world championship, and I'm going to wait until they either change name or stop being a team. And then like 10 years later, I go, oh, look, a vintage Aston Martin shirt. And some like indie kid is going to go, like indie F1 kid is going to go, oh, that's sick. And he's going to pay like £4,000 for it.
Do you think that, yeah, because you know the tyres blowing up. You know how Pirelli are trying to say that it was debris on the track.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And the two tyres blowing up at practically the same age, the same tyre on the exact same piece of track. And Pirelli are like, no, it wasn't a fault. There was stuff on the track. Like, okay, yeah, I bet. But the only thing that makes half of the races interesting is like tyres being soft and people having to pit twice, potentially. Like, if Pirelli cack their pants over this tyre blowing up malarkey, and then France is just going to be the most boring race. Like, France is already dead. And if it's like, it's literally just going to be one pit stop. Oh, it's going to be dreadful. I might not even watch it.
I'm convinced Pirelli purposely sabotaged the tyres just to make races more interesting.
Yeah, like last year when Hamilton won on three wheels. That was ridiculous. To be fair, we haven't seen any of that this year. Like, do you remember last year when Hamilton used to like clock out 30 seconds in the lead?
Yeah,
and you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
It's Horner and his flexi wing.
Yeah, but then the Mercedes front wing flexes. So Mercedes went, oh yeah, the Red Bull rear wing flexing all over the gaff, and then Christian Horner was like, look at your front wing, and then they were like, bollocks, we've grassed ourselves up here. Loads of videos have emerged of the Mercedes front wing like bending like centimetres. Just does what it wants.
I really want one of these days, I really want them to Bottas to be using DAS. And he just pulls his steering wheel off.
DAS is banned.
Is it banned? Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. They banned it within like 3 days of it coming out. They saw it at pre-season testing in 2020. They're like, what? Not allowed. So they banned it for this year. But the problem is, banning DAS meant that Mercedes had like loads of free weight on their car. So they just thought, oh, stick some more aerodynamics on them. Cool. And bollocks. I'd rather them have the DAS.
I'm convinced it was the DAS that actually like was put in Hamilton like 30 seconds in the lead.
I thought the DAS was like mainly meant for when like safety cars and stuff, getting heat in the tyres because she could make them have more surface area in contact with the road.
I don't know then, because there's a... Either Max Verstappen's gone really good, even better than he already was since last season, or Hamilton's just become shit, but still kind of alright.
Or the Mercedes just simply isn't as good.
Yeah, the Mercedes, like... I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't really put that much into it. Seems like next year it's going to be...
I don't know. I feel like Mercedes like care about winning more than they care about money.
Yeah. Who would explain why it's not as competitive this year? I say that like they don't win the majority of races.
Could it not be because of like the changed like floor stuff that affected high rate cars, like your Aston Martin lot constantly bang on about?
Talk about that.
It punishes low rake cars. Like, yeah, does it?
I have nightmares about high rake.
High rate cars haunt your dreams.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Otmar's like, oh, it cost us a second a lap. Like, yeah, meaning you're the fastest car on the circuit. Is that it?
Yeah, like, that's exactly it. Aston Martin, you heard it here first.
Aston Martin will be winning constantly, if not for the new regulations. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not quite buying that.
Otmar's presented conclusive proof the Aston Martin is somehow a second faster than every other car. And it's just the rake situation that's compromising it. They need to allow Aston Martin to change the rake, and then easy wins, and then that shirt is gonna go up.
And is that all you care about, the shirt?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just everything they do. It's like, oh, my shirt is going to go up in value so fucking much.
Everything that happens in F1 revolves around the potential future value of my shirt.
Is that everything?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. If Aston Martin do bad, then it means they're going to probably gonna leave F1. And then the value goes up. If Aston Martin win world championships, the value of the shirt goes up. You know, it's a win-win.
I mean,
that's the only way I can cope with it. Anyway, that's how I've convinced myself that it's a good thing when I see Sebastian Vettel not get into Q1 or Q2.
So, sure. You know, Vettel's already got a contract for next year, Aston Martin, hasn't he? But I think Perez is only on a 1-year contract for this year, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I mean,
the way he's been performing,
I mean, he's going to get extended, surely. He has to. I mean, yeah, surely he has to. There's no one else he can actually put in that car.
Unless they want to bring Albon back.
Or Gasly. Albon is never going to drive an F1 car on a race weekend ever again. He will be forgotten.
That's such a depressing idea, but it's true.
He got two podiums and was crap, and he's going to be consigned to history. Albon is never driving again.
Not in F1. He's good enough to be in a midfield team, but all the mid-team fields are
no,
good.
No, he's not.
He's all right. He's a good driver.
If you look at the drivers in the midfield teams, arguably the midfield is everyone but Mercedes and Red Bull. Sainz and Leclerc, both better than him. Norris and Ricciardo are both better than him.
Well,
Alonso and Ocon, Ricciardo, the moment, arguably both better than him. Everyone's better than him. So Vettel and Stroll are both better than him. And then, like, he can come back and drive in an Alfa, a Haas, or a Williams if he really wants to.
That's even worse.
But he'd never leave the Red Bull system, because the Red Bull system's the only reason he's actually driving this year anyway, even though that's in DTM.
Like the
DTMs go. DTMs where Formula E rejects go.
Imagine being passed through like the washer of Formula Series, and then you can't do F1, you can't do FE. They need the merit of that.
Back off the fucking, it's just not quite the same. I think Michael Schumacher started out in it, in touring cars, but he got out of it fairly quickly, obviously. I suppose he was an alright driver. Don't know what else to say. I mean, did you see Schumacher and Mazepin nearly crash on the last lap?
I didn't know.
Or like the second to last lap. So they were going down the straight and Schumacher tried to overtake Mazepin and Mazepin nearly killed him. He just doesn't know how to defend. He sees a car in his mirrors and he's like, shit, and just starts swerving all over the place.
He goes back to his F2 in Bahrain.
Did you watch that? In Bahrain, yeah.
Yeah, where instead of trying to defend, he goes, right, how can I make the other guy crash so that he doesn't overtake me?
He just tries to kill him. He was like, in the barrier.
Actually, speaking of Formula 2, Dan Ticktum needs to be shot.
Dick Tantrum. No, it wasn't his fault.
It was.
How?
Because he could have pulled out that move.
The other people. I don't believe that was his fault. That was a first lap racing incident.
Listen, if you give me a chance to shit on Dan Ticktum, I'll shit on Dan Ticktum.
Ticktum did nothing wrong.
I'll take it.
Besides deliberately trying to kill someone, and you know,
if he causes Thierry Boutrier to crash and fracture his wrist. Yeah, that's it.
Wait, did Poitier do it in that crash?
Yeah. I don't know how.
It was that one.
Yeah, it was that one. He like gently like grazed
the wall.
Yeah. So I don't know how he fractured his wrist, but it must have been he might have held onto the steering wheel and it like ragged him about.
What dickhead.
And
that's poor from Poitier. Talentless. Say what you want about him, he's no Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri is going to replace Alonso at Alpine in 2023. It'll happen.
Every time I think of Dan Ticktum, it just makes me angry. I can't stop thinking about it.
The thing about Poitier, he's in the Sauber Academy.
Yeah.
Like,
that means he's.
What's that gonna do for him?
He's not going anywhere unless Giovinazzi gets kicked out.
No, Giovinazzi's the Ferrari seat in Alpha. He'd have to replace Kimi.
Okay, that's not. No, because Kimi just likes driving. He doesn't really care.
Kimi's gonna retire when he's 53, and he doesn't feel guilty about kicking younger people out of F1 either. Yeah. He's like, yeah, he's gonna be there till he dies.
He doesn't feel guilty about just having a seat that a young person could have. He's like,
he's going to get buried in his car, so it's never technically an empty seat. He's just like, no. It's the fact that he made his F1 debut when Tsunoda was like 8 months old. Or like 10 months old. And he's still racing. He's raced against half the grid's dads. Not half, but a few of them. Schumacher, Verstappen, Kimi Raikkonen, generational talent.
He won the world championship
because Hamilton crashed in China. It's a conspiracy theory. Hamilton only crashed in China because of the Spygate stuff. Oh, speaking of Hamilton crashing, you know this was the first race since 2013 that neither Bottas, Verstappen or Hamilton have scored points.
That is
depressing.
Yeah, that's just a depressing look of one day Formula 1.
It's actually so bad. Like, Hamilton normally scores points even when he crashes. He just finds a way to rag into it, like in Germany in 2019 and in Imola. He just chances his way back in.
Yeah, he just fucking he crashes into the gravel, and he's like, right, his car's not moving, his tires are spinning, there's no way. And then he just pulls it out, and like gets like third.
And presses just like, the Bottas crash button on his steering wheel.
Yeah. He goes, Toto, I'm gonna need Bottas to get overtaken by Williams, please. And he goes, okay.
Bottas is like, okay, it will be done. Gets fired off. Anyway, what do you think is gonna happen in France?
Bottas is going to fall asleep at the wheel because the fucking race is boring and he's going to crash into a wall.
He'd have to fall asleep at the wheel for a long time to crash at Paul Ricard. Have you seen the runoff areas? It'll literally take about 20 seconds to hit the barrier. I think Mercedes will win. Because it's a power trap.
I believe in Red Bull supremacy.
It's such a boring... No, I think Mercedes will win. It's such a boring track. It's such a Mercedes track.
We need Bottas to, like... We need Bottas to go, right, I'm gonna try and win this week. And then he just crashes into Hamilton. We need that. And then we need a Red Bull 1-2. And then Lance Stroll to come third.
Why Lance Stroll? Why not Vettel?
Because Vettel's had his podium. Lance Stroll needs one now. And then I'm content. Both of them.
And then you can say you shit.
Yeah, and then I can say that they are consistently on podiums.
They are podium contenders.
For the next like couple of years, I'm just going to refer to the two back-to-back races where they got podiums, and that was it. Even if they come last every time afterwards.
It's like, yeah, but look, we were good once.
I'm going to cling to that hope.
Fair enough. I think Mercedes will win. And the podium. I think Hamilton will win, and then it'll be Verstappen and Perez on the podium. Because Bottas has just passed it.
I think Bottas is just not getting a podium anymore.
No. He's just, I don't know. Maybe they've told him that he's already been fired, and that's why he's just not caring.
Yeah, like in secret, you've just gone, right, you're out.
You've been booted. Maybe. I'd like to see that. It probably won't. I mean, it's probably not happened realistically, but it would be nice.
I think Bottas is the only person in like a seat in F1 that if they told him that he got fired, he just goes, okay, and then he starts finishing in like 11th and out of the points.
Go back to his
instead of just like going full pelt and just crashing it all the time. You may as well. I mean, that's like a free pass just to. If you ever, because you
just enjoy it.
You aren't going to get shouted at because you're probably going to get fired anyway.
Yeah, true. What can he really do? It's like, drive better or you're not going to race for us next year. Well, I'm already
there's,
not.
There's so. Really no, yeah, there's really no consequences for.
No, I reckon they'll fire him after Abu Dhabi. Like, they'll be like, you'll win the race probably, knowing Bottas. Like, you're fluky. You'll win the race and the next day it'll be, Valtteri Bottas is fired. You're like, what?
Yeah, he can do shit. Like, he can score out the points, but the moment he wins a race, they're going to announce him being fired. The moment he wins a race, he's going to get fired.
Funny. Or the moment he crashes into Hamilton, I reckon there's a crash between them two.
Yeah, it's going to be in Abu Dhabi 2016.
There was Sir Lewis Hamilton killed by an angry Finnish man. I don't know if Bottas actually gets angry.
He must do, but it doesn't show on the track. He drives so passively.
Isn't it? He drives like, oh well.
He drives like Kimi when he's being overtaken by like Red Bull and Mercedes and he just lets them pass.
You know, Lando said that he couldn't overtake Bottas, but he couldn't overtake him because Bottas was driving so shitly, not because he was going so fast. It was like unsafe for him to try and overtake. He was just all over the gaff. I mean, it's probably because him and Hamilton had different setups on, just trying to figure out what was better or whatever. But they let them choose. But like, you should have known better.
Did you see the fight between Gasly and Leclerc?
That was quality.
That was something. That was so good. It's the street, the street tracks and stuff like that is just. Woo.
But anyway, that's it for this episode of the Five Red Lights podcast. Thank you for listening, and the next episode will be released on Friday. I'll remember to do it this time. If you enjoyed, please follow the podcast and give it a rate where possible, and don't forget to follow our social media at 5 Red Lights Podcast on Instagram and at 5 Red Lights F1 on Twitter. Cheers again. It was actually a good race on Sunday. I was kind of worried it'd be boring as hell, but it wasn't, so lucky us. Anyway, so see you in the next one. Cheers.